Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray? And if he finds it, amen, I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 who did not stray. In just the same way, it is not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For the second time in 3 days, the Lord blasts to us this message from the prophet Isaiah. It's the message that Handel used for half of his first part of the Messiah, just taking line by line and making some of the most famous music that has ever been composed, because we could spend a lifetime just in this passage. But God announces comfort. He announces consolation to his people. And that consolation has a particular form. Announced to her that her guilt is expiated, that she's paid double for all her sins. And then there's going to be somebody coming. Prepare the way of the Lord. The Israelites were there in exile, and Isaiah was proclaiming a message of hope. In the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. God's coming to you. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be made low, the rugged land made plain, the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Go up on your mountain and cry out at the top of your voice. Here is your God. Here comes with power the Lord God who rules by his strong arm. And that strength is going to be the strength of a shepherd, who feeds his flock, who gathers lambs into his arms, who carries them close to his heart, who leads the ewes with care. That's the great consolation that we ponder every Advent. And it's true about the way Jesus came in history. It's true about the way Jesus comes in mystery. It's true the way that the Lord's going to come in majesty. It's going to be a shepherd who will separate us into two groups. For those of us who have received his shepherdly care and extended it, becoming sheep who then shepherd others, we're going to go to his right side. It's only when we forget him and forget who we are that we've got anything to fear. He comes with power, but we know the power with which he comes. St. Paul describes in his first letter to the Corinthians when he beholds the cross and says, "This is the power and the wisdom of God." He comes as a shepherd to die as the good shepherd to save the life of the sheep. And he does it precisely in order to expiate our guilt. And this is one of the biggest lessons of Advent. For us to receive that comfort God wants to give us, died to give us. For us to receive that consolation, we need to receive God's mercy. There is no other way. Everything else is just junk food. It's pretend. If we really wish to receive the full love of God, the full power of God, all the grace, we need to open ourselves up to the Lord's mercy. Today in the Gospel, Jesus is talking about lost sheep, those who have wandered away. He says, contrary to the way most of us would think today, that he would go out after every single one of his lost sheep, leaving the others behind. Pope Francis this morning, when he was preaching in the Vatican, said, "Most of us are good businessmen. If we had 99 sheep here and one wandering someplace, we'd just say, ain't worth it anymore. How can I spend all my time looking? We're all over the place. I've got these 99 other sheep to care for." So that's one of the big differences between Jesus and us. Jesus won't give up. Jesus will constantly keep on moving. He'll always respect our freedom. He'll never quit. But what a great comfort and consolation that is. And the hardened sinners who have finally come back have recognized this, that the Lord never gave up, That's one of the greatest consolations. Even when they had hit rock bottom, God was waiting. Today we celebrate two events. First, the 483rd anniversary of Our Lady's appearing to Juan Diego on Tepeyac Hill in Mexico. And the second is the 35th anniversary of the calling home of the Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. I'd like to look at these readings and this message from both of their angles. When Our Lady appeared to St. Juan Diego on this day, he was a little afraid to be ambushed by that lady on a mountain as he was shuffling his feet 15 miles to Mass. He would walk 15 miles each way to Mass. He knew it was that important. Our Lady surprised him, said, "I am your Mother of Mercy." She asked him to go to the bishop in order to have a teocalli, a temple built there where she was appearing. A temple where people could come and receive the Lord's mercy. A temple in which they could overcome sin. It's a very important point. Sin divides. Grace unites. The church is a place that's called ecclesia, that we're all called together. And if we come to church solo, we are still very much in our sins, or at least in the effects of our sins. If we don't really seek union with others, we're not yet responding to the comfort and the consolation God wants to give. God has created a church precisely in order to give us that comfort and consolation, that when we're having a terrible day, we know where to go, where the people will love us, where the people will accept us, where the people will make the time for us, where the people will listen to us. Mary was trying to create that there in Mexico. 10 years prior to her appearing to St. Juan Diego, the Spanish missionaries had arrived with Cortez. They had had very few converts. Juan Diego was one of them. 3 years into their work, he had come to the faith, but it was still just a trickle. In the decade after, the Mother of Mercy appeared to St. Juan Diego. 10 million Mexicans had converted. And to come not just to that teocalli on Tepeyac Hill, but to all of those churches in which the Lord seeks to bring us together so that we can receive the comfort and the consolation of His mercy, the comfort and the consolation of His body and blood, the comfort and the consolation of His mystical body. I continue to say that this is one of our biggest issues in the United States, and particularly in inner city parishes like this one, that for the most part, the vast majority of Catholics, including daily Mass goers, are totally fine waving the sign of peace to everybody else, saying, "What's your name? I think your name is," but without really ever getting to know so that they can extend the comfort and consolation of the Lord or receive it, because for the most part, we're still strangers, even though by baptism, we are technically far more related to each other than I am to my identical twin by genes. But we resist it. We resist it. This Advent is a time to recognize that God's calling us to resist no longer. The Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, whom I hope a year from now we'll be able to call Blessed Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen and perhaps be celebrating his Mass on this day, very much pray for that. But at the beginning of his Life of Christ, his fabulous study of the person of Jesus, which is, I think, one of the best ever written, he said in the intro, what distinguishes Christianity? He said, all the other religions in the world are about man's search for God. God's made us to search for Him, to seek Him. He's made us with a God-shaped hole in our heart that will only be satisfied when we find Him. And in a sense, every religion in the world is about that type of search for God. From the people who were writing in caves once upon a time, to the people who are looking up into the stars and wondering if there really is anybody up there, to the desire for meaning that we'll find in almost every religion. But he says Christianity is different. Christianity isn't fundamentally about our search for God. It's about God's search for us. That God loves us so much that He comes even when we're lost sheep, and He hunts us down. One by one we're valuable. He gathers us into His arms. He carries us on our shoulders. He leads us, His little ewes, with care, as a good shepherd calling us by name. That's what's distinctive about Christianity, that God hunts us down. That's what this Advent is about. Jesus isn't vaguely coming into the world for everybody. He's not going to make His spectacular entrance on the 50-yard line in the Super Bowl. He's coming into the world for each of us. And the essence of Christianity is docility. It allows us to be an uncaught captive in the Savior's hand, as Fulton J. Sheen would say in his Stations of the Cross. That's the essence of Christianity, to allow ourselves to be caught. And then, having been caught, to be transformed in such a way that we want to go out as shepherds with the Good Shepherd in order to find and gather in to His fold, to His family, the other lost sheep. Jesus ascended into heaven, entrusting us with the mission to go out and search for the lost sheep. Please think about that. He trusted you enough that He's made the salvation of some of the people you know totally dependent on whether you do your job or you pass the buck. Jesus could have said, "I don't trust you. I care about that lost sheep too much. I'm going to stay in this world until the end of time, because otherwise that person's never going to hear the gospel, because you're not going to tell them. Otherwise that person's not going to feel the comfort and the consolation I came to bring into the world, because you're too shy to get outside of yourself and bring Christ and His gospel to someone you consider a stranger." He could have said that to any of us. He didn't. He said the exact opposite. "I trust you. I will help you. And you're going to feel the greatest comfort and consolation that you will ever experience when you're able to bring others to experience the same comfort and consolation I've given you first." He wants us to participate not just in our own salvation, but in that comfort by building up His family. And we may say, "I'm not worthy, I'm not capable," and just start listing all the excuses. That's why this feast of St. Juan Diego is so important. He was the last person who would have ever been selected by a headhunting firm to carry out the mission of the Mother of Mercy. After he failed in his first attempt to bring the message to the bishop, a 57-year-old Indian with no standing whatsoever, he begged her, "Please send someone of importance. This is an important mission and I'm a nobody." But Our Lady said, "I am choosing you." It was because of his humbly responding to that message that here we are 483 years later celebrating his feast day in anticipation Friday of the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Likewise, none of us has an excuse. Each one of us, the Lord Jesus says, "Yes, I could have chosen others, but I have chosen you, and I've appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last." This is a message Juan heard. This is a message Fulton J. Sheen heard and responded to. Fulton J. Sheen went throughout the entire world as the head of the propagation of the faith in the United States, trying to bring Christ to those who never knew Him. He spent himself in that way. And if he was able to crisscross the globe trying to bring people to the gospel, we can crisscross the Flint. The great source of both of their energy was the Mass. Juan Diego, again, used to spend hours just going to daily Mass. It would take a long time to go over hills 15 miles and down and then to cross those same hills coming back. But he did it. because he knew the Lord whom he had met 7 years earlier, who better, had come to Mexico to meet him, was worth it. Fulton J. Sheen, as you can read in the bulletin this week, lived his whole life off of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. He called his holy hour of adoration the hour that makes my day. And he made a commitment to really pray the Mass. Fulton J. Sheen has had a big impact on me. His resolutions that he made the day of his ordination, I just echoed the day of my own. First was to make a Eucharistic holy hour every day. And the second was every Saturday you possibly could to celebrate a Mass in honor of Our Lady, to sustain us in our priesthood and to help our people become more Marian. It's always been such a tremendous pity for me when I see priests not even celebrate Saturday morning Masses. It's never made any sense, because that's the day specially dedicated to Our Lady and how much we need her to become good priests. Fulton J. Sheen taught me that lesson. He taught many other priests that lesson. As we prepare for the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, who wanted a temple built precisely so that her son could come and give the comfort and consolation he alone can give to all the sheep that have been brought into his fold. We beg, through the intercession of St. Juan Diego, through the prayers of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, that we might share this Eucharistic amazement that made their day and impelled them to go bring the comfort of the Lord to others. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.